Catching up now on another story in Iraq that we've been watching since January. Today, the American military said that it will soon release 9 Iranians who are being held in Iraq.
These individuals have been assessed to be of no continuing value, nor do they pose a further threat to the Iraqi security.
That's U.S. military spokesman Rear Admiral Greg Smith announcing the move in Baghdad today. 2 of them were arrested earlier this year when U.S. troops raided the Iranian consulate in the Iraqi city of Erbil. Tehran has been demanding their release for months. The U.S. has argued that the people arrested at the consulate are not diplomats, but members of Iran's Revolutionary Guard. Iraqi government officials call the release a confidence-building measure. They also noted that the Iranian consulate in Erbil was reopened today. Iran is still demanding the release of 3 other men who were arrested in that raid in Erbil. In recent years, Libya has undergone a nip and tuck. The old traces of antiquity are still there, but now free of international sanctions, the country is looking years younger, even as Libyans harbor some of the same old habits of the past. NPR's Gwen Tompkins reports.
This is where the Phoenicians of antiquity set down on the Libyan coast. This blue water, the color of lapis lazuli, whispers of fortunes to be made. Today's coastline stretches more than 1,000 miles across the crown of Libya and more than 2,000 years back in time to civilizations past. At Leptis Magna, an ancient city about 60 miles east of Tripoli, the Phoenicians, the Romans, the Byzantines, and even Mussolini's minions have left footprints. So many faraway kingdoms have clamored for trading posts on this coastal land of North Africa, and today's world powers are no different. After years of political and economic isolation, the great socialist people's Libyan Arab state of the masses is opening up to old-fashioned capitalism. So the traders are back, and the sky is apparently the limit. That's a Russian fighter jet. Wait, he's coming around. At a recent air show in Tripoli, the sky is like a moving catalog of the fastest, shiniest, and latest in aerial technology. Dignitaries, Libyan Air Force pilots, techno geeks, and hundreds of Libyan families are here kicking the tires. That's because they're buying. Or make that their brother leader, Muammar Gaddafi, is buying.
It's really for the leader and others to determine what they want.
That's Adam Thomas. He's with the British Ministry of Defense, representing an array of logistics, surveillance, and supply companies who want to do business here. Even Land Rover and Rolls-Royce want contracts. Great Britain is one of Libya's newest trading partners, following a deal earlier this year in which the 2 formerly hostile nations made nice.
We see the future in Libya depending on more joint ventures, more opportunities for, and I would say, skilled Libyan workforce to get involved, and also to learn. Believe it or not, there's things in Libya that we can learn from as well. It's not all one-way street here.
Ironically, Libya is most often associated with an air disaster. Pan Am Flight 103 exploded over Lockerbie, Scotland in 1988, and all aboard were killed. Gaddafi denied involvement at the time, but an investigation linked the bomb to Libya, which effectively isolated the country from the West. In 2003, Libya agreed to compensate the families of the Pan Am flight and also renounced weapons of mass destruction. The U.S. and Libya restored full diplomatic ties last year. Now Libya sells oil to the West, and as oil prices rise, so does Libya's buying power.
I personally moved back here. I lived in Canada for about 10 years or so. I came back almost three years ago, and it's such an amazing change. I'm myself surprised.
Nasser Mohammed Zawi deals in real estate. He says Libya is where the action is. And wearing a black suit and black sunglasses and with his black hair slicked back, Zawi seems like the kind of guy who would know. Something about him just says, bada bing.
The sanctioned years, we used to go abroad to buy sometimes even our personal use, like clothing, perfumes, stuff like this. But now pretty much you could find anything, and it's a brand names, like something really original. Before, we didn't really have that, no way.
There's no arguing that the Libyan government is moving toward a more cosmopolitan future. This is an about-face from the culture of asceticism that Gaddafi once embraced in his Green Book, outlining socialist revolutionary philosophy. At the air show, Cessna is appealing to Libyan customers who want to get where they're going in style.
So go ahead, do the math, crunch the numbers, factor in every variable. The new CJ2 Plus, a sure thing from Cessna.
There are plans for a new international airport in Tripoli that look like a page out of Frank Gehry's drawing pad. And Libyan Airlines is reportedly acquiring a new fleet of planes from Canada and France.
You know, the time has changed, you know. So now we want to be with the world, you know. Yeah, we want to cover all the countries by our airlines.
Mohammed Ayad heads the cabin crew for Libyan Airlines. Ayad says that if all goes well, the airline will be landing in New York in the next 2 years. And if he's lucky...
Arizona. Arizona is where the cowboys is, you know? Is that right? Every dream of anyone, you know, who knows the world is to go to the United States.
But no matter how fancy pants Libya becomes, the old ways are still vital to the people who live here. In the labyrinth of the Medina, or Tripoli's old city, are the shops where the locals buy. This is where the stuff of life is sold: metalworks, fish, household goods, and the gleaming gold necklaces that brides wear on their wedding day. Not many Libyans in this teeming place are willing to talk on the record. Despite the appearance of a more open economy, people here seem unusually closed. Remember, Libya is no democracy. Gaddafi has held dictatorial power for the past 38 years. Government minders accompany journalists to most destinations. And when ordinary people see the minders, most conversations come to an end. Unless you want to talk about cars.
Yes, Libyan people, they're loving the American cars like the Cadillac, the GMC, Mustang, Hummer, all the American cars, because they're big and they're comfortable, digitally complex, you know.
That's Mohammed, a salesman at a car dealership just minutes from the Medina. If you're a Libyan in Libya, you can ride like a king. The manager, Adel Mohammed, sells and drives the best that money can buy. He's got BMWs, he's got Mercedes, and yes, he's even got a big black Cadillac Escalade with a sticker that says, Made in Texas, by Texans.
It's a nice car, you cannot regret nothing. It takes gas, but as the car is strong, it takes what it deserves to take.
As more roads are being built in Libya and as import taxes remain low, more and more Libyans are climbing into SUVs. So how can people here afford cars that Americans struggle to maintain in the U.S.? That's easy. Gas here sells at less than a dollar a gallon. So go ahead, do the math, crunch the numbers, and listen closely. There's a Libyan tiger in every tank. Gwen Tompkins, NPR News, Tripoli.